lower 30s at daybreak. For Tuesday, sunny with highs in the mid-50s. And the outlook for Wednesday, sunny again with highs in the upper 50s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority. It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store in Mobile, Alabama. We are located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile at the corner of St. Francis and Warren Street. Our number is 251-255-5155, and you can find us online at cannabama.com. Although right now we've got a lot of calls about our website. It's under maintenance. We have yet again lost our credit card processing. Sixth time, I think. So if you happen to shop online or are looking for us online, please call the store for now. Again, it's 251-255-5155. We can take care of your order, have that shipped out like normal, and you can get a little consultation over the phone. And we apologize for that inconvenience. Right now, we're accepting cash, Cash App, and Venmo in the store. So be prepared when you come in for that. Everybody's been a good sport about it, and we're working on an application, but it takes about 2 weeks to get approval. Anyway, so we are not having Mardi Gras this year, and that upsets me. Being from New Orleans, I love Mardi Gras, and being the only store in the downtown area, it's usually our biggest month. So after having a really, really tough year, it's hard to go without that extra income. But we are making it, and our sales are creeping up slowly. We're recovering after all the losses, so thank you everybody for sticking with us and for trusting us to be your source of education and quality products. We've got some new stuff in the store. We just got a ton of Delta 8 edibles, and we've restocked on all of our flower products and our vape products, and Cannabama is slowly but surely procuring our own label. You guys know I don't grow and I don't process. And a lot of stores start out with a white-labeled brand that is, I think, silly, because when you're new to it, everyone knows you're not an expert. And I wanted to wait until my reputation as an educator and a provider was solid enough that even though I don't grow it and process it myself, my stamp of approval would hold weight with my customers. So we're in the process of sort of deciding on the best of the best in every category. And we're going to slowly create a Cannabama label. And then we are going to actually create some products that don't exist, or if they do exist, they're very scarce and very poorly made. Because we get samples from all over the country, we've seen pretty much everything there is to offer. And there are definitely some products that don't exist, or like I said, don't exist in a quality way, that need to be out there and available. Different methods of consumption that some people may not have thought of. We would like to be on the forefront of creating a more complete market selection. So anyway, be on the lookout for that. We've started with Delta 8 pre-rolls and Delta 8 cartridges. And we're slowly but surely sort of transitioning into that. So that's going to be really exciting. And we've got some big plans for the year. Valentine's Day is coming up. So if you need a gift, we're going to have some fun stuff. We're going to have some contests. So follow us on Facebook and Instagram so that you can be in on that. We're going to do some giveaways and have some really good sales in the next couple of weeks. And I will be going to California, invitation only. I'm pretty excited, to a buyer's event where I'll get to have private meetings with 32 brands and see what they have to offer and give them my questions and suggestions, maybe learn a few new things, make some new friends. And so I will not be here the weekend of Valentine's Day. I will be in La Jolla. But I'm really excited for that, and hopefully we'll come back with some goodies to give away. So anyway, tonight we're going to get right into it. We have a powerhouse player in state legislation for the advocacy of legal marijuana. Tonight, our guest is Marty Shelper, and she is the president of Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Marty, are you with us?
I certainly am. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Marty. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty well. As long as we've got this legislative session opening tomorrow and we're moving forward with SB 46, the Compassion Act, I could not be better after COVID shut us down in 2020.
Oh, yeah, that was very disappointing.
It was beyond disappointing.
Well, so every time I tell someone I'm going to talk to Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, they're like, huh? So tell us a little bit about ALRAMP.
Okay, well, Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition is a state chapter of a national organization called Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, and it was founded by Miss Ann Lee, her son Richard Lee, who founded Oaksterdam University, actually discovered the medicinal properties of cannabis because her son had to have cannabis and he had to move to California to get it. So she and her husband, Bob, created RAMP. They call it RAMP. And about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I was a cannabis advocate for 8 years. And I really didn't feel at home anywhere because typically cannabis advocacy is known to be a more progressive liberal thing. But yet I knew that there were lots of Republicans that were in the proverbial closet. So I just did a Google search one night and Googled Republicans who supported cannabis prohibition, ending cannabis prohibition, and that's when I found RAMP.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, would be classified a conservative Christian cannabis advocate because I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but, you know, I've always said if more conservatives, especially the church in particular, if they understood what it is and what it isn't and what it could do for the people in the church and for the community, they would be our biggest champions. Do you agree with that?
Well, I'm a Christian too. And I've been a cannabis user for 46 years. So I know plenty of other Republicans and conservatives in my social circle that are also cannabis users, but they are afraid to speak out because of the way it might affect their jobs, the way it might affect their community at their church, their social standing.
Right, their social standing.
But they are becoming more courageous. And when I founded Alabama RAMP, my main goal was to educate people on the miracles and the benefits of cannabis and try to coax those other conservatives who are out there who were using cannabis to come out of the closet, to stand up and speak out, because politicians tend to think that if they don't hear from their constituents about a particular issue, that it's not important to them. And conservatives are afraid to speak out.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's really easy for them to ignore big things when people are afraid. And we'll talk about this some a little bit later, but I just read a tweet by the governor about signing a bill or signing leases for two new prisons. And it's just infuriating to me because if they would release marijuana prisoners in Alabama on the cusp of, you know, signing this bill into law, hopefully soon, they would make a lot of space and save a lot of money instead of building two new prisons to put more prisoners in. So
I actually commented on her Facebook post and asked if anybody within the Alabama government had even considered how much money they could save and how much space that they could save in their prisons if they released the prisoners that were in there for cannabis And if right. they legalized cannabis, they wouldn't need space in the prisons for people who had committed crimes, victimless
right.
crimes.
Releasing them is step one. Expunging records, step two. Let's give these people their lives back.
But I'm not expecting anyone to comment back on my comment. We did have a lot of people that went out there and applauded it and agreed with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's always, you know, people that's all they'll do. What I want to touch on after the break in just a minute is the current medical marijuana bill that's up for vote. I would like for us to sort of get into the details of what it is and isn't, and how important this is. It's a historical moment for Alabama, and we're just about the last in line, but that's okay. When we come back, we'll be back with Marty Shelper of Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition on the medical bill.
To Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, and owner of Cannabama the CBD Store in downtown Mobile. We're on the phone now with Marty Shelper, who is president of the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Marty, let's get into the bill. Everybody knows that we have a bill that went through committee, and it went through the Senate, and then got stalled because of COVID-19, like my divorce and everything else in my life. So, the bill calls for a seed-to-sale system, with all aspects of the Alabama medical cannabis program being done inside the state lines. So they want people who get a license to grow it, to process it and sell it in retail store or retail dispensaries, and not sell or provide products outside of that. And so it's vertically integrated is what they call it.
Okay. First off,
is that right?
I would like to thank the sponsor of this legislation, which is Senator Tim Melton from Florence, Alabama. He's worked really, really hard on this. And the legislation did actually pass
yes.
the Senate, but because of COVID, it didn't get,
mm-hmm.
it was passed on to the House Health Committee and didn't get past that. But the bill does call for seed to
right.
sale, which Senator Melton really worked hard to make sure that Alabama farmers were going to be taken care of and the job opportunities were going to stay here in the state, which I really admire that.
Right.
One of the concerns that we had with
yes.
Alabama Ramp was that Big Canna was going to come in and, you know, they were going to put the sale on the legislators
right.
and they were going to push the Alabama farmers out. But Senator Melton did not stand for that. He promoted Alabama farmers.
Yes, I have had many, many interesting conversations because I was the first retailer of hemp products, and I'm pretty sure I'm probably the most outspoken hemp advocate in the state. I've been approached by lots of people inside of Alabama and outside of Alabama. I was even told at one point a couple of times that if I qualified for a dispensary license, that the person I was speaking to knew 10 people who would give me a duffel bag with $1 million in it. And I'm like, I don't think so. No.
Wow.
We're not going to sell ourselves to Big Canna because they've largely left us on our own down here. Do you agree with that? Because, you know, Dr. Jan Louise, who is from Mobile, who is in New York City, she and I have talked about it on her podcast. And, you know, she said she's asked around the industry, is anybody going to Alabama and helping them? And no one wants to come here.
Yep.
I'm not sure if they think it's because it's a futile effort, but they obviously have underestimated people like you and like me and Melissa and, you know, TC over at Alabama Normal, and the people that are out here every single day advocating. What's your take on that as far as, you know, the lack of outside help from anybody that's in the industry that could help us sort of navigate the situation?
Well, as far as coalitions are concerned, I mean, we've had difficulty here in the state of Alabama getting other cannabis advocates to form a coalition to lobby the legislators. We've really kind of been on our own. As far as the big canna industry, I mean, when we went to those committee hearing meetings that were in the fall of 2019, I'm not so sure that there weren't big canna industry in those rooms at every one of those meetings, and I was at all of them. I mean, it was full of attorneys.
Right.
Who they were representing, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy with the way the legislation is going, and we just don't want the cannabis industry to turn into the pharmaceutical industry. And we definitely do not believe that the pharmaceutical industry should be in charge of cannabis.
Right.
We're firm.
Are you
that.
Listening, Louisiana?
I'm sorry,
you know,
to
I mean,
hear you.
I think. As I just said, are you listening, Louisiana? Because I know that there's been a lot of involvement in, that's my home state, with GW Pharmaceutical in their medical program, and it took them 5 years to implement it. I think that, I mean, I'm not sure who is at the core of looking out for everything. I know that Senator Melson is a huge proponent of us having any of this. I know that Vivian Figures is very pro and active. And I'd like to shake her hand for the menopause and PMS addition to the conditions list. But I think that if Alabama sticks to Alabama, we're plenty capable of doing it ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. We've got the perfect setup. We've got the climate for it. Even though this is probably going to be indoor grows just because of the opportunity, you know, that it would affect the hemp farmers if the cannabis was actually grown outdoors, so it'll be indoor grows, I'm sure. But I mean,
well, and it's easier to deal with things like hurricanes down here.
Well, I mean, there's going to be something. It doesn't matter what region of the country you're in, you're going to have to deal with something.
That's but, true.
We should be fine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're a farming community, right? I mean, I think I always say the Southeast should have a huge stake in the cannabis industry. We should be dominating. We have better weather. We have that Delta soil. We are farmers by historical, you know, designation. And I think that there's no reason we can't be the top farmers and providers in the country.
Well, I know I've been speaking with Bob Fincher, who is my House rep, and Randy Price, who is my state senator. I've been talking to them for over 4 years about this, even before the Compassion Act was probably even being thought about. And I tried to explain to them, you know, we're such a depressed area, especially in the district that I'm located in. We are an agriculture district. And this is something that could really promote growth within the district that they represent. But it was almost like I was talking to somebody who was deaf, dumb, and blind.
Yes.
I know that feeling.
Randy every day.
Price did vote for the Compassion Act in 2020, and it never made it to the House, so I never really could get a firm grip on how Bob Fincher was planning on voting on that.
Right. Well, I can't imagine, unless they're getting funded by Big Tobacco or Big Pharma, why anybody in the state of Alabama, especially after Mississippi has now legalized, why anyone would vote against this, because they're going to start seeing money hemorrhaging from every border. Because we've got the states closest to us, you know, especially down here. What is there, 70-something miles between Mississippi and Florida? And there's legal weed on either side? I mean, that's just crazy.
I what I'm getting ready to say to be misconstrued, okay? There's a difference in ignorance and stupidity. Stupidity you can't do anything about. Ignorance you can correct and you can educate. I think what we have is ignorance. I think there's a lot of propaganda that's still believed by a lot of the legislators, because they really and truly have believed all the propaganda that's been spewed for the past 84 years. And that's one thing that Alabama Ramp has really tried to do. If you couldn't educate the politicians, we've been trying to educate the citizens and engage the citizens and get them to contact their legislators. Right. So it's not a losing battle, but it is a battle to try to educate someone.
It's an uphill battle for sure, though. It is uphill. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what this show is for, is to open the eyes of the people so that they can then say, hey, let me give this a Google at least, you know, and let me go and check out this business, because I want people to come into my business because they have heard me giving information that's accurate, information that calms their fears, that changes their minds. And then when they step over the threshold and meet us and see exactly what we have and then try it, it changes their heart. When it's normal, then we'll be legal. And that's the hard part. I've been doing this show for 18 months. And almost every time I tell someone what I do for a living, they've never even heard of Cannabama or anything like it. They still don't know what CBD is. They don't, you know, and they think that weed. I rejected it the first time that someone suggested it. You know, I rejected it. No, that's weed. I can't do that. I'm in recovery. So I think that there's a huge need there that still, I mean, as loud as we are, it's still not being met on a grand scale that it needs to be.
Well, when you talk about an uphill battle, when I first came into this, I was pretty naive. I thought, oh, we just need to educate these legislators about cannabis. But I realized that they are bought out by lobbyists, and the only two things they listen to are their citizens and the lobbyists. So that's when I decided, okay, we need to educate people. So we are educating people. But the uphill battle is getting those people that you're educating that finally see the light
to step forward,
stand up, and speak out.
Right. Yes, that is the hard part.
And we are seeing people
that is the hard part.
But it's slow.
Yes.
So if you're out there surprised and when you're I first listening started to this, you need to call your legislators, not just your legislators. They all need to be called. Please. Please let them know that this is an issue that concerns you.
When we come back, we're going to get into this more with Marty Shelfer from Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, and we're talking to Marty Shelfer from Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Marty, let's get into the bill a little bit, because I don't want to leave off any of these great bullet points that we put together. There are forms of cannabis that are prohibited, okay? So they're not going to allow smoking flower or vaping, so nothing inhalable, and a lot of people are upset about that.
Right, the bill does not include any combustibles. It's really about oils, gels, they're not going to be like candy. They don't want to promote this to children. Tinctures, those types of things.
Right.
I mean, it's really going to be more just really medical instead of making it look like that it's going to be this fun thing or whatever. But they're going to be very, very beneficial to people because it's going to be full extract cannabis. I mean, this is going to happen.
That's right. Whole plant.
And THC is what heals the body. We're going to have to go back year after year to ask for anything else.
Right. I am most excited about one-to-one whole plant products that where we can combine the high THC plants with the high CBD plants, because the combination of CBD and THC is so, so powerful. I've done a lot of reading on it. Yes. And all the other 489 plus chemicals that, you know, that we know of. But the anti-inflammatory capabilities of CBD with the plethora of things that THC is great for in a 1-to-1 ratio is, nothing stands up against that. I've done so much research on that, and that's why I would like to have the opportunity to also have a dispensary so that I can continue to teach on the whole plant, which we talk about all aspects of the plant on this show, and be able to offer products that are sort of customized, you know, 1-to-1, 1-to-4, 1-to-8, whatever people need, different terpene profiles. Because everybody is different and their needs are different. That goes for what terpenes are perfect for your conditions. That goes for the different combinations and ratios of cannabinoids. And I think the future is in being able to sort of customize those things. So, but, you know, everybody's complaining about not being able to smoke, which, you know, let's just be grateful. My take on it, let's just be grateful that we will have it at all and worry about the rest later, because once we have a bill and there are tens of thousands or more people, hundreds of thousands of people walking around and they're not, you know, lighting their hair on fire and running down the street naked, people will start to go, oh, maybe I was wrong. And then they'll be more open-minded. Don't you agree?
I have one thing to say about that. We are Alabama Republicans against marijuana prohibition. So even though combustibles are not in this legislation, and these people are complaining because combustibles are not in the legislation, I want them to stand up and speak out. I mean, until they do, this is what we have.
Right.
And suffering and dying citizens of the state of Alabama, which I am so grateful for, because that's where my heart is. That's where my burden is. I mean, people that are suffering and dying cannot continue to wait year after year because they're continuing to suffer. And yet people are dying because if they had access to this, they could heal their bodies.
Right. Well, and I mean, I know Melissa made this point that every state that has a medical program started out with an extremely conservative and limited bill, and then they expanded. I mean, California is still amending and adjusting and adding and subtracting, and they were the first ones.
Well, I'm very, very proud. I know you asked me initially about me being a conservative, but I'm very, very proud that any legislation that has passed that has been cannabis related in the state of Alabama has been sponsored and passed by a Republican majority. So we have a lot to be thankful for here in the state of Alabama.
Yes,
it may not
do.
Be everything that we want, but it is. You know, we are going to get the medicinal, and then we'll just have to go back year after year. But we need the support of the citizens of the state to be able to progress and get the things that people really and truly want.
Right. And the list of qualifying medical conditions is pretty long. I was surprised. And then when I heard that Vivian Figures slipped in there and got the menopause and PMS, you know, added, I was like, holy crap. Every woman in Alabama just qualified for a medical card.
And I'm sorry, I do not remember the lady that was on the commission committee, but she brought that up, and that's thanks to her. I wish I could remember what her name was. The one thing about this legislation that really bothers me, Jennifer, and I really want to talk about this, there's going to be a 9% sales tax on this, on the sale of cannabis, a 9% sales tax. And something that always sticks in my craw is the fact that pharmaceutical drugs are not taxed. But yeah, this is a medical cannabis, but it's going to be taxed at 9%.
They're going to take it out of our rear ends.
So we may be stuck with that.
Well, it's just like the alcohol and tobacco taxes. Sure, we'll let you have it because we know you're going to buy it and we'll make tons of money. But you're going to pay extra taxes on top of everything because we can't just give it to you.
And if the federal government does what they want to do with the MORE Act, there's going to be a 5% vice/sin tax. So that would be 14% here in the state of Alabama. And comparing cannabis to alcohol and tobacco is not the way to go.
Right.
There's no comparison.
Right. And I hate the word recreational, too. I think the word recreational is the worst thing that ever happened to cannabis.
All cannabis is medicinal.
All cannabis use is medical. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't care what someone's motives are. Yeah.
Okay. People sell medication.
You know. Exactly. It's oh man, don't get me started. Because we have so much good information.
We're here and that's why we're talking.
Oh, but we have so much good information to cover. It just infuriates me. Don't trivialize what I do. Because I'm working my face off. I don't know if people understand how many times in the last year I've been on the brink of bankruptcy, okay? I'm very transparent and open, with my addiction, with everything in my life. I have been on the brink of bankruptcy, going through a very difficult divorce where I have no support financially. This business is all I have. So do not trample or trivialize what I'm doing while I'm sitting here facing, how do I feed my kids? You know, and how do I live? Because going without my medicine, I can't hardly function. You know, I was 39 years old and on all sorts of pharmaceuticals, had insomnia, and was in abject misery. And CBD changed my life, and then having been given the vision for this business is what saved my life and gave me an opportunity to take my life back. I am not playing around. So don't put it in beer. Don't compare it to, you know, doing cocaine or whatever. It is not the same. It is serious. We are trying to change people's lives here. So don't mess with my mojo.
Most people don't realize in 1937 when the Marijuana Tax Act was passed and cannabis was prohibited, prior to that, when people would go to a doctor and there were like 100 different causes, and people would go to their doctor, they couldn't prescribe cannabis, but they recommended cannabis to their patients for these 100 different conditions prior to 1937.
Right.
But then the pharmaceutical companies realized that they could create synthetics, and cannabis was a threat to their synthetics, so they pushed to have it prohibited. So there have been cannabis advocates for years that have been trying to bring this to the forefront to educate people, to let them know that cannabis was very beneficial, but now we're seeing the fruits of their labor. We stand on their shoulders, and we just have to keep pushing forward. I personally spend, and people think that this is crazy and that I'm not being transparent and honest, I spend between 10 to 14 hours a day working on cannabis advocacy. I'm self-employed. Some days I have to go to work, but the days that I don't, I may spend 16 hours a day on cannabis advocacy, trying to educate, trying to get people engaged, trying to get people to stand up and speak out. But everything that we're seeing come to fruition in 2021, and the 36 states that have medicinal cannabis legislation, and the 14 states that have legalization of flower, if that's what you want to call it, we're standing on the shoulders of people that came before us. Now is not the time to let off the pedal. Now is not the time for us to sit on our laurels. We just have to keep moving forward.
Right. And I don't know why I've never said this before. It just kind of came to me. And I haven't asked you about this, but I'm sure hopefully you won't be mad at me. But if you are out there listening and you would like to be able to help push this forward, help push forward education and the bill and the normalcy of cannabis, and you just don't think you can or want to do it yourself, call me. Call Marty. Call Melissa. Call somebody who can stand up and get us in a room with anybody. I don't care if it's family and friends in your house. I don't care if it's your coworkers. I don't care if it's your Bible study. I don't care who it is. Call us. Give us some place to come and teach people that may or may not have thought, hey, I need to learn about cannabis. Give us an opportunity to do that for you in on a larger scale. I will go anywhere. I know, I'm sure Marty will too. Let us just advocate and give us a platform, you know, because only a limited amount of people are going to hear this show. Even putting it in podcast form and putting it on the internet and social media, only a limited number. There's a lot of people in this area that will not hear this. But if they show up to an event somewhere, they're going to hear some good education. All they can do is not like it. It's not going to hurt anything, and we won't even tell them who invited us. I mean, would you be willing to do that, Marty? I know you would.
Well, I can't drive anywhere, but I mean, I'm more than happy to. If anybody wants to learn more about cannabis, the medicinal properties of
let's get on Zoom.
Legalization of it. Alabama, you know, Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition is on Facebook. We have a chapter page. We produce content. We put content out there every day. They can message us. We'll be glad to answer any questions they have. If we don't know the answer to that question, we'll let them know we don't know the answer. We'll find the answer, and we'll get back to them.
That's exactly what we do. Yep. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to find it. Give me a minute. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the hour and talk about when we'll be able to apply for cannabis cards once the bill is passed. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Marty about the medical bill in marijuana in Alabama. Marty, the bill does not specify when we'll be able to apply. It says that in 2022, that's when we would be starting to apply for licenses, but not when people can apply. There's no transparency or accountability about how to get started in the process, where, what that will entail. I know I read at one point that you would have to get approval by two different cannabis approved doctors. They're going to have to certify these doctors, right?
Okay, I think some things may have changed since then. It may only be one doctor now.
Okay.
And I've heard rumors when COVID shut us down that the legislators were actually working behind the scenes to have everything laid out. The framework has been laid out. This is a rumor. So that the implementation of this, when it passes, can be fast, not slow. So maybe they won't get seed in the... and we won't touch the ground, but they won't get seed planted maybe until the spring of 2022. I don't know what their plans are. I just know that Senator Melson is ready for this to go, and he's ready for it to go now.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't know the answer to this. When will people be able to apply for dispensary licenses? Because I know they're only giving a handful. Do you know anything about that?
That's really not in my wheelhouse, and it's not on my radar because it's not something I have an interest in. But I'm sure.
Right. Well, I thought maybe because it matters who gets dispensary licenses. To me, it matters. We don't want the dispensary licenses going to the five richest people in Alabama or the five most well-connected people in Alabama who don't really care about the plant or the patients.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying that's just not something that's on my radar.
Right.
I'm just really working for the right. Success okay. of the dying people of the state. I do want to let people know that we are having a virtual lobby day because of COVID. We cannot get into the Alabama Legislative Office or the House because of the virus unless we have an mm-hmm. appointment. So on Wednesday, February the 10th at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, we will be having a virtual lobby day on our Facebook page. It's going to be something that's going to be very informative. I hope that it's going to be fun. We hope people will tune in. We're also on Twitter. Alabama Ramp is on Twitter. So I hope
okay.
that I can find
all right. Yeah, I Yes, it's very difficult. I mean, maybe I just don't know who to ask.
Well, I don't know who to ask either, but I will make some inquiries.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've had lots of conversations. Yeah, I don't know what that process will be like. I know in some states it costs $50,000 to apply for a dispensary license, and you have to have, you know, $1.5 million in the bank in earnest money just sitting there. Like, who has $1.5 million just sitting around? I don't know any cannabis advocates or people that are qualified. That's why the corporate crap comes in.
Jennifer, I haven't heard anything like that about dispensaries or for growth.
Okay.
And believe me, that happened. That was happening in the state of Georgia. And, I mean, my radar went off. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard anything like that in the state of Alabama. They really want
Okay, good. I sure hope so. I mean, it would be so great for the state. You know, I love Alabama football, but can we be great at something else? It's, you know.
Well,
let's take care of our citizens. Let's keep the money in the state also.
A lot of people don't believe in trickle-down economics, but when this comes to the state of Alabama, it is going to trickle down to everybody. Because any vendor that
that's
can
right.
be
well, look at Colorado.
The sale of cannabis is going to provide jobs, Alabama jobs.
Right. Lots of people have converted their farms to hemp, and now this is just the next evolution of that, because we've got a fiber processor here in Alabama, one of the few in the country. You know, we've got extraction chemists, we've got some solid brands, we've got people that are in advocacy and retail that are really starting to push forward. And I like to think that the push forward on the hemp side of the plant is in part why people are, you know, people are more open-minded, because it's given people like me an opportunity to have a platform long before the bill is voted on to talk about it openly and to say, well, here's the part that doesn't get you high. Every other component of the plant is completely helping people. And no one's having a good time. You know, calm down. So let's talk about this one chemical.
Common sense almost tells me that the hemp farmers that are already farming hemp could possibly be the ones mm-hmm. to switch up to farming cannabis. Because there's going to be more money.
Of course, or add that to what they're doing. Yeah. Well, especially if there are indoor grows, I believe that some of the best hemp farmers that do have some financial backing will be able to add an indoor grow, and not one or the other, but do both and have products provided, because not everybody's going to get a medical card, and there's still a valid space for the low THC, high CBD parts of the plant. I see it every day. I don't care what anybody says. There is definite benefit to using, like I said, that's why one-to-one is so exciting to me. There will still be a large need for all different aspects of the plant, including the low THC forms, because, I mean, I don't know when they're going to stop drug testing for THC, but, you know, that may be on down the road, because even in legal states, Yes, even in legal states, they still drug test for THC.
Hey, Jennifer, I've got an idea for you. Do you think maybe reaching out to some hemp farmers, because, you know, they're probably hearing things that we aren't hearing, they might be able to answer your question about how they're going to handle the, who's going to grow and who's going
to
dispense?
Well, trust me, every time I talk to somebody, I ask, do you have any information? So, yeah, I'm already on it. A lot of people come to me. I'm like, I don't know why everybody thinks the Ag Department and the State Department call me about anything, because I don't know. Marty, we're almost out of time. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're almost out of time. Is there 1 minute or so? Right. Is there anything you want to leave us with before we are cut off?
I definitely want to say one thing. Cannabis is the safer choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My dad died of a pharmaceutical drug overdose accidentally.
And my sister died
of chemotherapy poisoning with pharmaceutical drugs. Yes, it's a very personal thing for both of us. Thank you so much, Marty, for coming on the show. I definitely want to follow up. Maybe we can talk again later this month after the lobby day in a few weeks when I get back from California and closer to when the bill is actually going to be voted on. Anytime you have information from us, you let me know. And thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Tell us where we can find Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition.
Facebook and Twitter.
All right, guys, you heard it here. And you can get information from us anytime at our Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, cannabama.com, and our store at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. I just want to say it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's medicine. It's a plant. God made it. Join us next week. I don't know who we're going to be talking to, but it's always a good time. Good night.